In this talk, we will give you an overview of basic designs of computer system, how the different parts of a computer systems are organized and various operations performed to perform a specific task. You would have observed that the instructions have to be fed into the computer in a systematic order to perform a specific task. Computer components are divided into two major categories, hardware and software. In this talk, we will discuss about hardware, the machine itself, and its connected device such as monitor, keyboard, mouse, and all. Software that makes use of hardware for performing various functions. Now, Mr. Yogesh will explain you about the computer.
Yeah, Naveenji. Welcome, listeners. Now, what is a computer? Basically, a computer is an electronic device that is used for data processing. Data, as you know, any raw information is data. Now, the computer transforms this data into meaningful information. Data can be anything like marks obtained by you in various exams. It can be the name, age, sex, weight, height, etc. of all the students in a class. Computer can also be defined in terms of functions it can perform. A computer can accept data, store data, process data as desired, and then retrieve the stored data as and when it is required. It can also print the results in desired format. The major characteristics of a computer are high speed, accuracy, diligence, versatility, and storage. A computer needs both hardware and software for proper functioning. Hardware consists of mechanical and electronic devices, which we can easily see and touch. The software consists of data and instructions that are fed into the computer. Hardware and software together form a computer system. Now, we can see the basic functions of a computer system. These are: a computer system accepts information from outside through various input devices like the keyboard, mouse, scanner, joystick, trackball, and light pen. It performs arithmetic and logical operations on the information. It communicates the results to the outside world through output devices like monitor and printer. It stores the information in storage devices like hard disk, pen drive, compact disk, Blu-ray disk, etc. A computer system consists of input unit, memory unit, output unit, and CPU. Now we shall talk about these different units one by one. Let us start with central processing unit. You may call central processing unit as the brain of any computer system. All major decisions, controlling functions, and all sort of calculation work is done by CPU. It has two parts, the control unit and the arithmetic logic unit. Control unit, or CU, let us see what is it. Control unit tells the rest of the computer system how to carry out a program's instructions. It directs the movement of electronic signals between memory, which temporarily holds the data, instructions, and process information, and the ALU. It also directs these control signals between the CPU and input-output devices. Arithmetic and logic unit, that is ALU. This unit, usually called ALU, performs two types of operations, arithmetic and logic operations. Arithmetic operations are any operations like addition, subtraction, multiplication, etc. And the logical operations consist of the comparisons like equality, non-equality, etc. Now, Naveenji, please tell us about, tell us our listeners about the memory unit.
Now, the memory unit. Memory or a storage unit of the computer consists of various devices used to store the information. Memory can be divided into two categories, main memory and secondary memory. Let's discuss about the main memory. Main memory of a computer provides storage for our data and instructions on which control unit and arithmetic logical unit operates. When data is entered into a computer, form an input unit, and it is stored in a main memory. It holds the program and data currently being used for the computer. It also stores the intermediate results. So memory is divided into a number of locations which are called memory cells. Each cell can store a fixed amount of information. Each memory location has a unique address. By specifying this address, one can retrieve the information from the first location. If one wants to store information in a cell which already contains some information, then the old information will be completely erased and the new one will be placed in that particular location. The information stored in main memory gets lost when the power is switched off. In other words, this type of memory is volatile in nature. The capacity of main memory is limited and the operation involved with the main memory are very fast. The main memory usually contains two parts: random access memory, that is RAM, and the read-only memory, that is ROM. The RAM is volatile in nature and all user programs and data are stored in the part of this memory. On the other hand, ROM is non-volatile in nature and all the instructions required by the computer when it is switched on are placed in this part of the memory. From this part of, one can easily read the information which is already there and it is not possible to write new information into it. Now let's talk about the secondary memory. Because of the volatile nature and limited capacity of the main memory, the secondary memory plays a very important role in the computer system. Secondary memory devices are non-volatile in nature. That is why the information stored on them cannot be erased even if we switch off the computer. Therefore, after working on the computer, the program can be stored on the secondary devices so that it can be used later. But you should keep in mind that for executing this program again on computer, this program from secondary storage device has to be copied onto the main memory. When this is done, the program is in the main memory as well as in the secondary memory, so that even if during the execution of the program the power goes off, the program can be copied again from the secondary memory. Thus, the secondary memory devices are used to store the information permanently, but information cannot be directly used by the control unit. This is the transfer of the first to the main memory. The secondary storage device can store large amount of information. The rate at which the information is transferred to the main memory and called transfer rate. Now Mr. Yogesh will tell us about the input unit.
Okay, yeah, Naveenji. Basically, a computer is a device in which we enter the data and processes the data and gives the output. Now, to enter the data into the computer, various devices are used. These devices are called input devices. As you know, you enter the data using the keyboard normally. Whatever data you have to enter, you use the keyboard and enter the data. Sometimes you use mouse also. These are two very frequently, or let us say most frequently used input devices. But these are not the only input devices available. There are many more input devices through which we enter the data. These input devices are keyboard, mouse, light pen, digitizer, joystick, optical or magnetic scanner, touch screen, barcode reader, microphone, and trackball, etc. Let us see these input units one by one. Keyboard. Now, keyboard is the most common input unit which is used to enter the data into the computer. There are several types of keyboards which are available today. But these keyboards resemble each other in most of the features. They are only minor variations. The most commonly used keyboard are QWERTY keyboards. QWERTY is QWERTY. The arrangement of keys on these keyboards is such that first you see Q, then W, E, R, T, Y. Generally, standard keyboard has 104 keys. In these keyboards, the cursor control keys are duplicated to allow the easier use of numeric keypad. Same keyboard can be used for data entry as well as for typing. Now, let's see what is the difference between data entry and typing. While typing a document, your fingers are continuously pressing required letters and symbols. For this reason, speed and accuracy is measured by how many words you type in a given period of time. This is done in case you are typing a letter or typing a letter or any other document. Whereas in data entry, speed is defined by the number of keystrokes, that is the number of times any key is pressed on the keyboard. In typing, the speed is measured in words per minute, while in data entry, it is measured in keystrokes per minute. Second input device is mouse. A mouse is an electromechanical device. It is a handheld device. It is a point and click device. We point on at any place on the screen and then we click. It can perform functions like selecting menu commands, moving icons, resizing windows, starting programs and choosing options, etc. All GUI based applications today are designed to work with a mouse. Then there is light pen also. An input device that utilizes a light sensitive detector to select objects on a display screen is light pen. A light pen is similar to a mouse, except that with a light pen you can move the pointer and select objects on the display screen by directly pointing to the objects with the pen. Then there is joystick. You must have used joystick while playing video games. It is a screen pointing device that moves in all the directions and controls the movement of the cursor. The joystick offers three types of controls: digital, glide and direct. Digital control allows movement of limited number of directions such as up, down, left and right. Glide and direct control allows movement in all directions, that is 360 degree direction. Joystick are mainly used for computer games or CAD CAM applications. Then there's digitizer. It has a flat board having net of wires. When a pen is moved over these wires, it sends electrical signals in that shape to the computer to reproduce similar image on the screen. This input device enables us to enter drawings and sketches into a computer. A pen used in the digitizer is also called a stylus. Stylus looks like a simple ballpoint pen but uses an electronic head instead of ink. Then there is optical scanner. These devices are used for automatic data collection. The devices of this category completely eliminate manual input of the data. For example, the barcode reader is actually just a special type of image scanner. An image scanner translates printed images into electronic format that can be stored in a computer's memory. And with the right kind of software, one can alter the stored image. Then we have a touch screen. Touch screen contains a touch panel that displays, and it has pads which are used as alternatives to the keyboard. Here the input can be given through the computer screen that accepts the input through the monitor. Users touch electronic buttons displayed on the screen or they may use the light pen. Touch screens you must have seen in ATM machines. Then we have microphone. Microphone is an input device which takes voice as the input. The voice communication is more error prone than information through the keyboard. There are two types of microphones available. First, desktop microphones and second, handheld microphones. Then we have trackball. Trackball is a pointing device like a mouse. It is just a mouse lying on its back. To move the pointer, you rotate the ball with your thumb, your fingers or the palm of your hand. There are usually one or three buttons next to the ball. which you use just like mouse buttons. The advantage of trackball over mouse is that trackball is stationary, so it does not require much space to use it. In addition, you can place a trackball on top of on any type of surface, including your lap or any tabletop. For both these reasons, trackballs are popular pointing devices for portable computers. Now, Navinji will tell us about the output unit.
Thank you, Mr. Yogesh. Now, I will explain you the output unit. Now, output devices return processed data, that is information, back to the user, and all the information inside the computer is in the form of binary digit, that you know, 0 and 1. Output devices convert them to numbers and words which are easier to understand. Some of the commonly used output device like monitor, that is visual display unit, printer, plotter and speaker. Out of all the output devices, I think monitor is the most important output device because people interact with this device most intensively than others. Computer information is displayed visually with a video adapter card and a monitor. Information processed within a CPU that needs to be visually displayed is sent to the video adapter. The video adapter converts the information from the format used in the same manner as a television displays information sent to it by a cable service. There are different types of monitors which are mainly available in the market with the microcomputers are like CRT, that is a cathode ray tube. CRT or cathode ray tube monitor is a typical monitor that you see on desktop computer. It looks a lot like a television screen and works the same way. This type use a large vacuum tube called cathode ray tube. Another type of monitor which normally available in the market is a LCD displays, like liquid crystal displays. This type of monitors are also known as a flat panel monitor. Most of these employs liquid crystal displays to render the images. These days, LCD monitors are very, very popular. Like Mr. Yogesh, as you know, how you will judge the capability of a monitor? That can be judged using the resolution of the monitor. Now, most of the monitor have a resolution at least 800x600 pixels. Now, what is a pixel basically? A pixel is the smallest unit available on the monitor screen that makes a picture sharper. And high-end monitors can have resolution of 1024x768 pixels or even more. Thus, monitors are available either in low resolution or in high resolution. Now, let's talk about the another output device that's called as a printer. When you have something in your hand that you need to be print, so you require a printer. A printer is a device for a hard copy to have a printout. Some printers offer special features such as colored and large page formats. Some of the most commonly used printers like laser printer, inkjet printer, dot matrix printer, also known as DMP printers or line printer. Let's talk about a laser printer. A laser printer produces high quality print that one normally finds in publishing. It is extremely fast and quiet. Moreover, the operation of a laser printer is easy with automatic paper loading and no smudging or messing up of ink ribbon. The fastest laser printer can print up to 200 pages per minute in a monochrome black and white and up to 100 pages per minute in color. Let's talk about inkjet printer. An inkjet printer creates an image directly on the paper by spraying ink through as many as 64 tiny nozzles. Although the image produced is not generally quite as sharp as output as a laser printer, the quality of inkjet images is still high. Inkjet printer offers an excellent middle ground between dot matrix printer and a laser printer. like laser printer can ink, jet printer is quite convenient but particularly fast. Typically, an inkjet printer is more expensive than a dot matrix printer but cost only half as much as laser printer. Dot matrix printer. The dot matrix printer was very popular and at one point of time. It is a very versatile and inexpensive output device. In dot matrix printer, the print head physically hits the paper through the ribbon and produces the text or images by combination of dots. Hence the name of the dot matrix printer, its speed is measured in character per second, although it is less expensive and it is louder and slower, produces lower print quality. Line printer. A line printer is generally used with a large computer system to produce text-based data processing reports. Line printers are high-speed printers with a high speed ranging anywhere from 100 to 300 lines per minute. In the past, print quality on a line printer was not high. Development in technology and improving the print quality on a line printer. There are in the cost of range of lakh of rupees for these printers. Another which is a common device which is available in the market is a plotter, as we've seen. That plotter is normally, in a normal days, you can see the plotter device available at the number plate designer for the car number plates. It is again a computer device, a special kind of output device that, like a printer, produces images on a paper but does so in different way. Plotters are designed to produce large drawings on images such as construction plans for buildings or blueprints for mechanical objects. A plotter can be connected to the port normally used by a printer. Now, plotter is also categorized in two ways. One is a flatbed, that is plotters of a small size to be kept on a table with a restriction of a paper size. Another, drum plotter. These plotters are a big size using roll of paper unlimited length. Then the last is a speaker, which is a commonly available device, again a output device. Speakers are another type of output device which allow you to listen to voice like music and conversation with the people. Now Mr. Yogesh will tell us about the software used with the computers.
Yeah, thank you Ravindji. Software, the really a very interesting topic. Basically, you already seen that a computer system consists of hardware and software. Hardware contains all the tangible parts like keyboard, mouse, monitor, whatever we have talked about. Now, if we say that hardware is the body of a computer system, then software is its life. Without software, hardware cannot do anything. Now, what is software? All the instructions and data that we feed into the computer is called software. It is software only which tells the computer what to do, how to do, and when to do. Now, software can be categorized into different categories. Two broad categories are system software and application software. Let us talk about system software first. System software contains a set of instructions which are used to manage the computer itself. Now, when you switch on the computer system, there are some programs or the software stored in ROM that are executed, which activate different units of your computer system and make it ready to work for you. This set of programs is called a system software. System software is a set of programs responsible for running the computer itself. These control various operations of the computer system and manage the computer resources. Operating system is one such software. Now, what is an operating system? An operating system is a system software that provides an interface for a user to communicate with the computer, manage hardware devices like drives, keyboard, monitor, etc. It manages and maintains disk file system and supports application programs. Some popular operating systems are Unix, Windows, Linux, Mac, etc. all the operating system provides all the features the users need, that the users need to use and maintain their systems. But there is still something which the operating systems do not provide. This has led to another type of system software, which is called utilities. These are the programs that bridge the gap between the functionality of an operating system and the needs of the user. Utility programs are a broad category of software, such as compression software, like zip and unzip programs. There are file maintenance programs, antivirus software, split and join file software, etc. These are all system softwares. Then we have application software. Application software is a set of programs which are written to perform specific tasks. For example, an application package for managing library is known as library information system, and it is used to manage information of library, such as keeping the book details, keeping the details of the users of this library, and then the book issue details, book return details, etc. Another application package for maintaining student detail is called Students Information System, which manages the students' roll numbers, names, their personal information like parent names, address, class, section, etc. Application software again can be divided into two categories. One is generalized packages and the other is customized packages. Now, what are generalized packages? These are user-friendly software written to cater to the user's very general needs, such as preparing documents, drawing pictures, database to manage data information, preparing presentations, play games, etc. It is a group of programs that provide general purpose tools to solve specific problems. Some of the generalized software packages are like this. Word processing software. These are used for preparing the documents like WordPerfect, MS Word, OpenOffice Writer, etc. Then spreadsheets are there, like Lotus Smart Suits, MS Excel, OpenOffice Calc. Then there are presentation softwares like Presentation Graphics, MS PowerPoint, OpenOffice Impress. Then there are database management systems like MS Access, OpenOffice Base, MySQL Server, MS SQL Server, Oracle, etc. There are graphic tools also like PaintShop, Adobe Photoshop, etc. These are generalized packages. Then there are some customized packages also. These are the applications that are customized to meet the specific needs of an organization or an institution. For example, the student information details, payroll packages, inventory control, etc. These packages are developed using high-level computer languages, keeping in view the needs of specific users. Now, there is a concept of computer languages. We shall talk about these computer languages now.
Now, computer languages. Languages are mean of communications, as we normally use in our day-to-day life. Normally, people interact with each other through a language, like we speak in Hindi or English. On the same pattern, communication with computer is carried out through a language. This language is understood both by the user and the machine. Just every language like English, Hindi has its grammatical rules. Similarly, computer language is bound by the rule known as syntax. Syntax of the language. The user is bound by the syntax while communicating with the computer system. Computer languages can be differentiated with a different ways. Like first, low-level language. The term low-level language means closeness to the way in which machine understand. The low languages, for example, machine language. This is the language in the form of zeros and one, called binary numbers, understood directly by the computer. It is a machine dependent. So it is very easy to learn by the computer, but difficult to learn by the user who are developing the programs. Second type of low level language is assembly language. This is again a little tougher language, but easier than a machine language. This language where the machine codes comprising of zeros and one are substituted by the symbolic codes called mnemonics code. To improve their understanding, it is the first step to improve the programming structure. Assembly language programming is simpler and less time consuming than the machine level programming, as it have a special code which are easier to locate and correct the errors in assembly language. Then in machine language programs, it is also machine dependent program. So programmer must have a knowledge of the machine on which the program will run. Another way of writing a language, which is a nowadays a very popular way to write the programs, that is a high level language. You know that the low level language requires extensive knowledge of the hardware since it is machine dependent, and you should understand all the codes which is given in the machine language. To overcome this problem limitations, high level language has been evolved, which uses normal English like language, easy to understand statement to solve any problem. Higher level languages are computer dependent and programming becomes quite easy and simple. There are various types of languages available in the market. Let's talk about a basic language, that was beginner all purpose symbolic instruction code. It is widely used and easy to learn general purpose language, mainly used in microcomputer in earlier days of a computer languages. COBOL, that is common business oriented language, a standard language used a commercial application for the DBMSs. Fortran, that is a formula translation developed for solving mathematical and scientific problem, one of the most popular language among the scientific community. Then we have a most popular language and the most used language is a C language, that structured programming language used for all the purposes such as scientific application, commercial applications and developing games. Now the most popular nowadays C++ is an object-oriented programming language used for a general purpose. Apart from this high-level language, there are certain other languages which are available in the market like Java, .NET, and these are the application-oriented applications. Let's talk about a compiler and assembler that will be explained by Mr. Yogesh.
Yeah, definitely, Naveenji. Now, we will talk not only about compiler and assemblers, but we shall talk about interpreter also. Now, let us see how a software is developed. To develop a software, we have to give instructions to the computer. These instructions are understood by the computer. These are followed by the computer, and following these instructions, the computer does the required task. Now, to give the instructions to the computer, we have to use some language. As you have already explained, there are so many languages using which we can write the programs, we can give instructions to the computer. But all these languages are not directly understood by the computer. Computer understands only one language, that is the machine language, which is in zeros and ones only, and which is very, very difficult for a normal person to learn and understand. For this purpose, what we do is, we write the programs or the set of instructions in some other languages which are easier for us to understand. These are high level languages like COBOL, Java, C++, Fortran. You just talked about this. Earlier we used to write the programs in assembly language also. Assembly language uses mnemonics instead of zeros and ones. Now, the computer does not understand assembly language. To understand assembly language, this language has to be converted into machine language first. And a software which converts assembly language program into machine language program is assembler. So what is an assembler? It is a program which converts an assembly language program into corresponding machine language program. Similarly, when we write programs in high level language, These programs have also to be converted into corresponding machine language instructions, because computer understands only machine language instructions. Now, to convert high-level language into machine-level language, there are two types of softwares, that is compiler and interpreter. Using interpreter also, the high-level language program can be converted into machine language, and using compiler also, a high-level language program can be converted into corresponding machine-level language program. Now, the difference is that a compiler converts a program from high-level language into machine language and gives us an object code. The program that we write in a high-level language is called source code. Compiler converts this source code into corresponding machine language instructions, and this set of instructions which are in machine language is called object code. Now, what the interpreter does is, it converts each instruction into corresponding machine language instruction and then executes it. Compiler does not execute the instructions, whereas interpreter executes the instructions also. For different languages, we have compilers, and for some other languages, we have interpreters. So, this is the basic concept of compilers, assemblers and interpreters. These are basically language converters. Now, Naveenji, please tell us something about computer security.
Computer security. Basically, when we have something in our hand, that destruction mind also comes with the achievement that we, humankind, achieved. Security has always been overriding concern of a humankind. For many organizations, information plays a very important role in running business. Therefore, it becomes necessary to safeguard information from reaching the illegal hands. When data takes the shape of digital form, a different security procedure is required. This branch of security is called a computer security, which is a necessity of nowadays. People must have a network security or a computer security. Information technology has also some loopholes associated with it, like the possibility of stealing of vital information and intentionally implanting destructive or a malicious program on the other's computer. The motive behind such activity is to show down the pace of an organization and harm it economically. Let's discuss about some of the malicious program which often called viruses. Worms, Trojan horse, logic bombs, spyware and so on. As we know, virus is the most common word for the network security or a computer security. It is nothing but a malicious program. A virus, in simple words we can say, virus is a program which has been written to interfere with the normal functioning of the computer. It does this is by clogging the memory of the system, of making copies of itself, or it may destroy your critical information used by other computer programs. There are different types of viruses available in the market. First, boot sector viruses, which infect the boot sector in the hard disk and affect the partition table. File viruses attach to the executable files. In simple words, we can say, basically, when we start the computer, computer start its booting process. And these type of viruses directly affect this booting process, or the it affects the its sequence of booting so that it cannot be started. Another commonly infected file are those with a COM or EXE extension. The third system virus infects specific system file such as command.com, which normally start executing at the beginning of the program. Computer viruses can be grouped into time bomb, Trojan horse, worm, etc. Time bomb will start on a particular date at a particular time. This is the most, if you remember, the 2000K bug that was started on that particular day. The computer will lose its ability and to the function properly. The virus known as a Trojan horse will enter into a computer through an email or a free program that have been downloaded from the net and cause plenty of damage. Viruses known as worms are constructed to infiltrate or legitimate data processing programs and alter or destroy the data. Warm computer system to another system, thus warm attached system that are linked through a communication line and available on the network, that is mainly harm to the networks. Now, it is necessary to protect our system with the antivirus software. So we must go through a software, license software antivirus to protect our system from these viruses. In case the virus is present, it becomes our duty to use antivirus software for preventing virus attacks in future. Antivirus software falls into two categories, a scanner and an integrity checker. A scanner is a program that will detect the virus by checking the files on the disk, the boot sector of the disk, and a program in the memory by looking for the signature of the virus. The signature is a piece of program code that is unique to the virus. It is very necessary to update regularly the virus scanner that you have bought. This is essential because new viruses come constantly appearing on your system, and the virus can be judged on the number of days you get the updates. Integrity checkers work using simple checksums or complicated algorithm or cryptographic checksums. So it may be by boring for you to check virus every time you run the system. But you should not worry. Help is at hand with a home guard, a unique device which one fitted to the computer automatically scan in the background for the viruses. If there are viruses found in the system, home guard will clean it automatically without even to press any key. Now Mr. Yogesh will tell us, will discuss about the precaution we should take against the viruses.
Yes, Navinji, it is really very important to take precautions, proper precautions against the viruses. Now, not only the viruses, there are many other types of malicious software which affect our computers negatively. There are Trojan horses, there are worms. So we have to take precautions against all these type of malware. And a very essential thing to prevent against these is an antivirus software. We must install a proper reliable antivirus software on our computers to protect our computer against any virus or any malware attack. So you're talking about the precautions that we should take against viruses. So first I talked about the antivirus software. The second is we must not use any storage devices like pen drives or memory cards, etc., without scanning these, because these may contain viruses. You don't know from where these are coming. So you must scan these storage devices before using on your computer. Third thing is you must take backup on a read-only medium. Backup of all the documents, all the data, that is very important for you. Their backup must be taken periodically on a read-only medium. If the read-only medium is not available, then you must ensure that on whichever medium you take this backup, that medium should be placed in a secure place so that no one can use it, unless until it is required. And backup, you must take two copies of the backup. That makes your data more secure. And last, but very important point is, never, never, never use pirated software. Whenever you use pirated software, you don't know it may contain viruses or any malware. Yes, it is illegal. You are using an illegal software, that is a cyber crime. And also, you are inviting viruses on your computer. So you must take these precautions on the computer so that your computer is protected against viruses. So here in this talk, we talked about different types of hardware, software, and different types of compilers, languages, and the malware also, and precautions should be taken against the malware. Now, Navinji, please you summarize whatever we have covered in this talk.
Let's sum up the firstly. Like what we have discussed in this talk, that was a computer is useful only when it interacts with external devices such as keyboard, mouse, monitor, speaker, which are called peripheral devices. In this talk, we have discussed about the major peripheral devices of a computer system, like we have discussed about an input unit. In input unit, we have discussed about keyboard, mouse and other things. And in output device as well, we have categorized the printer into a four different categories, like laser printer, dot matrix printer, an inkjet printer or a line printer. And in monitor also, we have discussed something called CRT, which was normally used in earlier days, LCD, that was a liquid crystal display. Nowadays, if you see, most of the people are going for the LEDs, that is the light emitting diodes available in the market in the shape of a monitor. And you also have learned about the network security or a software security, also learned about the computer language used to prepare the software. That is the most important part, and that is the programming era. And at the end of the chapter, Mr. Yogesh has discussed about the computer systems and security being properly, damage caused by viruses, and the role of antivirus to control the effect of these viruses. Now, there are so many viruses and the viruses software, antivirus software available in the market. Now, how you will judge that which antivirus software is better? Like, you have a Microsoft Essential software, you have an Anti-Quick Heal, you have McAfee, Kaspersky. There are so many softwares available in the market. Now, how you will judge? And if you go with the cost, almost all the software have a same cost. Now, you can compare the software according to the number of days taken by the company to give the new virus update. For example, if you are purchasing a Quick Heal, maybe they are giving you a new virus update in the next 10 days. That is too much. And another company which is giving you another update in 2 days. So I think the software company which is providing us an update as soon as possible, the virus is available in the market, that is a better antivirus software.
Yeah, now Navinji, basically when you purchase the software, any antivirus software, usually their updates are available on the net also. We are normally always hooked to the net. So whenever the computer is on the net, their updates are automatically available. And normally all these antivirus softwares are, there's a not very much difference between these softwares. Almost all these softwares are at par, I think. Your opinion?
Nah, Mr. Yogesh, I will explain you this in this regard. Like when you open any of the website or if you start your computer and if you are online with the internet, your antivirus software start updating automatically. But what they are giving you, for example, today is the 4th January and a new virus come into the market on the 4th January. You will get the update for the 4th January virus after 30 days. It means you are lagging behind 30 days. If I am getting a virus today on 4th January and I am getting an update on the 5th January, it means I am getting a latest update for the virus which is available in the market for the 4th January. Most of the company takes 15 days to give you the update for the new updates. That's my opinion, sir.
Yeah, but this thing has to be seen because some company may give you the update in 1 day. But
company is giving in a 1 day. If you are comparing with you can compare on the net.
I'm taking just an example, or let us say 15 days. If one company gives you an update for a new virus in 15 days, then the same company may give you an update for some other virus in 30 days, and the other company which was giving an update in 30 days may give an update for a new virus in 15 days. So this has to be taken into consideration that sometimes one company has an upper hand, sometimes another company has an upper hand. So a lot of research has to be done to see which company is better and which one is not better.
Basically, when you see the brochure of the various companies, they are providing you the number of days taken by the company to provide you a virus update. If you can compare, if you see the brochure of the so many companies, they are explaining on this regard only that how they are better than the other company. Rest is on the your choice. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Naveen.
Thank you, Yogesh ji.